They passed a sign that said they were headed toward Soda Springs. And then the road curved, and Rachel could suddenly see the white tents and RVs and vans and other vehicles ahead. She could see a military green helicopter, its blades still, parked to the left of the encampment. Further past the encampment, there was a complex of small buildings set at the base of the hills. It looked like a roadside motel, but there were no signs and no road. "What is this place?" Rachel asked.
"This is Isaac's," Dai said. "As far as I can tell, it is the asshole of the universe. Some radio preacher named it and built it 60 years ago. He got control of the land by promising the government he would be prospecting. He paid winos from Skid Row in L.A. to do that, while he went on the radio and called on the faithful to come here to bathe in the spring waters and guzzle the mineral waters he bottled. It took the Bureau of Land Management 25 years to get rid of him. The place was then turned over to the state university system for desert studies."
"Why here? Why did Bacchus bury them here?"
"Far as we can guess, is because it's federal land. He wanted to make sure we, meaning you probably, worked the case. If that's what he wanted, he got it. It's a major excavation. We had to bring in our own power, shelter, food, water, everything."
Rachel said nothing. She was studying everything from the crime scene to the distant horizon of gray mountain ridges that enclosed the basin. She didn't agree with Dai's take on the place. She had heard the coastline of Ireland described as a terrible beauty. She thought that the desert, with its barren lunar landscape, was in its own way beautiful too. There was a harsh beauty to it, a dangerous beauty. She had never spent much time in the desert, but her years in the Dakotas had given her an appreciation for harsh places, the empty landscapes where people were the intruders. That was her secret. She had what the Bureau called a hardship posting. It was designed to wear her down and make her quit. But she had beaten them at this game. She could last forever there. She would not quit. Dai slowed as they approached a checkpoint set up about 100 yards before the tents. A man in a blue jumpsuit with the white letters FBI on the breast pocket stood beneath a beach-type tent with open sides. The desert winds were threatening to tear it from its moorings, just as they had already played havoc with the agent's hair. Dai lowered the window. She didn't bother to give her own name or identification. She was a given. She gave the man Rachel's name and identified her as a visiting agent, whatever that meant.
"Is she cleared with Agent Alpert?" he asked, his voice as dry and flat as the desert basin behind him.
"Yes, she's cleared."
"Okay, then. I just need her credentials."
Rachel handed over her ID wallet. The agent wrote down her serial number and handed it back.
"From Quantico?"
"No, South Dakota." He gave her a look, the kind that said he knew she was a fuck-up.
"Have fun,"
he said as he turned to go back to his tent. Dai moved the car forward, raising her window, leaving the agent in a cloud of dust.
"He's from the Vegas FO," she said. "They're not too happy about things, playing second string."
"So, what's new?"
"Exactly. Is Alpert the SAC?"
"That's him. What's he like?"
"Well, remember your theory about agents being either morphs or empaths?"
"Yes."
"He's a morph."
Rachel nodded. They came to a little cardboard sign taped to a branch of a Joshua tree. It said vehicles and had an arrow pointing to the right. Dai turned and they parked last in a row of 4 equally dirty Crown Vics.
"What about you?" Rachel asked. "Which did you turn out to be?"
Dai didn't answer.
"You ready for this?" she asked Rachel instead.
"Absolutely. I've been waiting 4 years for another shot at him. This is where it starts." She cracked the door and stepped out into the bright desert sun. She felt at home.